The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 206. That's right. I am, as you can see, in the T-Sports Arena. Don't worry, Honest Wargamer fans that don't like T-Sports stuff, eventually I'll change this around. I'm also using a new camera, which really can't settle whether or not I'm the brightest white human being in the world or like a medium level whiteness, but I'm definitely white. Let's put it that way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I said I was your host, Rob, so don't need to do that. It's a Monday, and I am very excited to be here. That's right. I'm excited to talk to you guys and blowing up what's going on around the world in Age of Sigmar tournament news. Very, very fun. Not loads. but there are like two good bits of news. There was an event on the weekend in France, and there will be an event this weekend in Germany, and it looks like it's going to be one of the largest Age of Sigmar events that we're going to have been. Okay, start again. It's because I'm stood up now, and it's like, it's going to take a toll on me, and I'm going to start dancing. It's going to be one of the largest Age of Sigmar events that's happened so far in the world this year. So lots to digest, really, from that. I've got all the lists. We won't be doing the list review today, but I might do it later on in the week. Quite exciting to see what the meta kind of shapes up like. I don't really know what the meta was in Germany anyway, other than we know that Germans have like flown to other places around the world, like in the Republic of Ireland last year. You know, Disco Rat smashed it up, and we saw Skaven come over. So, you know, it might be a very different meta. We know the French meta is very horde heavy. That's a very like specific meta where it's always hordes. German meta, not so certain on that. So hopefully I'll try and get some friends in. But there's some really big news tonight on the show. So this is on the Monday night show. Me and the gang are going to be dissecting and doing our review of Battletomes, Sons of Behemoth. There's also, I don't think I'm going to cover it in the show today, but maybe I should cover it in the show today, is the new White Dwarf War Scroll Battalion. I tell you what, I feel super weird not being at the studio. I feel really uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to tell you. anyway, going to be the other White Dwarf Battalion. Sorry, not the White Dwarf Battalion. The White Dwarf rules now, which, like we saw happened with the Squigs, this one affects Trogs, effectively, which is quite cool. There's some good stuff. The Battalion is the kind of standout element. The rest of it, in fact, all of it's rubbish. The Battalion's good. And the fact that you can now res Trogs, so if you wipe a unit out, you can bring it back from the Loon Shrine, so you can have a Trog Loon Shrine. But it does mean you need specific requirements. You need loads of different Trogs. So that's it. Right, Twitch chat. So that's what's going to be going on today. Happy Monday. I hope you're well. Oh, don't forget also, tonight, 6 p.m, is the ban phase. That's right, for the WS10 versus Dragon Slayers match happening this Saturday on TSN. So that's cool. That's happening tonight. I'm very excited. I do have a co-host for that this evening. The wonderful and legendary Nathan Prescott will be helping me co-host that. So that's going to be fine. So what's going on, Twitch chat? Before we get on with anything else, I want to know how you are. Nathan won a one-dayer. He did. That's also, you know, you're blowing the lead again there, Hawkeye. But yeah, Nathan will regale us later with how he took out a one-dayer with his Gloomspike Gits, of all things, which was particularly 2019 of him. But before I go any further, I'm going to drink some water out of my water bottle, and I'm going to tell the podcast guys to stay hydrated. Everyone on this World Gaming Patreon, thank you very much for subscribing and helping keep us honest. And thank you to everyone who's joined us live or subscribes. My first question, though, before we get on with the news, it's a bit of a, not a contentious one, but I know someone asked me to ask the question, so I'm going to ask you guys the question. I'm going to answer the question. So one of the guys on Patreon asked me to ask this. Does anyone else feel a little bit slighted, or a little bit, what's the right word? A little bit hard done by watching a lot of people getting early access books and early access Gargants. Now, for me in particular, doesn't bother me. I actually prefer being this side of the fence. Like, it's exciting being this side, learning with you guys. Games Workshop a year ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, offered to send us some early access books, and we said no. So much more interesting being at the same pace as everyone else. I much prefer it. I think it's far more fun. I don't really begrudge people getting some early access stuff. I guess the only real problem for me is when they shill for that early access stuff. It's quite weird. It's like Instagram models and all that stuff. I find it very weird. I don't know about you guys, especially when it's so obvious. Anyway, but that's my feeling, so I've answered the question. Yeah, we are going to be getting some Honest Wargamer branded bottles there on the way as well, which is pretty cool. I'm really excited about that. Pre-order my bottle. Yes! Stay hydrated, Adrian. Let's go. Hosting with Nathan. Welcome to Esports Live. Don't say fuck or bugger. Do tune in later to see how Nathan does with the no swearing. I'm excited. Cinderfall Gamer says, no review is worth anything until 2 weeks after release anyway. Well, actually, something to say on that. I will come back to that point in a moment. 50-50 depends on the book, says Inferno Storms. The Gargs are so expensive because they gave 100 of the fuckers away for free, says O'Reaper. That's a good point. I don't mind, says Gabawaki, but the people who get stuff and don't bother to paint it annoys me a little. Okay, that's fair. Hawkeye, thought the content creators were rubbing it in my face. Oh, I'm sorry about that, bud. As long as it does not create shortage of supply for the rest of us and they can show us if it's any good. D Para Hobby Channel, fuck you, buddy. Fuck you too. Midway Minis gave up their NDA for the same reasons you never took it. They think they're better off. Yeah. It's a better place to be. I think it's a healthier place to be. And it's just loads better. So one of the interesting points brought up by Cinderfall Gaming is that a book is not relevant until 2 weeks after. Normally that's because, if you guys aren't aware, the FAQs should in brackets be released 2 weeks after always the book release. That's what Games Workshop promised. They have sometimes delivered before that and they've sometimes delivered after that. So it's a rough ish. Sometimes it's taken a lot longer, like weeks and weeks. So it's not always on that 2 week deadline. However, yesterday we saw that they've announced, or yesterday or maybe the day before, we've seen that they've announced that they now are going to add a further 2 weeks to that. So 4 weeks from book release to new FAQ for them to gather enough data to work out what they think needs changing. Now, I for one am actually pro this move, because there's two ways to look at it. One, I would really like them ahead of time. I'll tell you what, I'm really uncomfortable like doing this stood up. It's weird. Anyway, I would really, really like them to get everything right before they put the book out. But like, listen, we all know what we're in love with. We're in an abusive relationship, and it's a bit monstrous what we deal with. So that's fine. They're not a particularly good company or professional company, I think, when relating to the customers. So that's fine. But now giving themselves a longer window to do a better job as the FAQs come out, I'm really pro. Like, I wish they'd give themselves, and I wish that with all the extra money they make, they hired more people, and the people they do hire, they'd pay more money to. All of the creatives, cleaners and everyone, all of the people would get more money, but they basically made it so that the workload was easier, and they made it so that they had more quality control. That would obviously be that side. But the four-week change, fine, you know, whatever that is. I hope they're just hiring more people. Like, in fact, actually, no, the four-week change, no, I'm switching it up. No, four-week change, don't give a shit about. What I really want them to do is hire more people. I don't think giving themselves a 2 extra weeks does anything, because they're still overworked. There's still too many people doing too much work. So you need to hire more staff, I think. Deep Power Hobby, let's go. I'm not doing any push-ups here. Dear God. I'm changing that. Okay. 4 weeks is good. Friends are making rushed and ill-considered changes. Good. So how many weeks do we need for nerfed Croak? Can I just say that I can do this now that I've got a stand-up desk? All right, hold on. That's right. Podcast guys, don't worry about that. That was just a visual joke. JJ number 10, thanks for subscribing. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. It's annoying. As long as they actually do a better job those extra 2 weeks, I guess it's worthwhile. Okay, good. And AOS Archie says, I've been waiting months for lizards to get fixed, which is completely fair. Okay. All right, so it's a good decision. It does seem to me a failing in playtesting that needed the amount of time to fix the bug. I don't think it's playtesting necessarily, because I don't think anyone actually playtests. I just think that they what they do with the playtesting is they effectively farm it out to people who they can, like, will shill for them so they can get any sort of, so that they can basically try to control the community when they fuck up as opposed to doing a good job. Okay, right. Tournament results. Let's go. Okay. I've got a new desk now, so it's all in a weird place. So if I fuck this, I'm sorry. So over in France, the French Singles Cup. Yeah, 36 people. So by today's standards, a massive event. A massive event. And it was a two-dayer, five-game event. 2,000 points. Excellent work. Yeah, yeah. In first place was Annette Deepkin with Volty as the general, Soulscryer, Tidecaster, and interestingly, and this is cool, this is different, three Alapexes, so three sharks. Now, these are decent. I played these against Benjamin Sava. Like, the shooting does more than you necessarily think. Well, that's quite fun. That's fun. And he had two lots of three defensive guard and three offensive guard. And a Leviathan. What the hell? Oh, baby. So, Sharks are king. And it's also got the Achillean Corpse. So, there was also 10 Heartrenders, who are allied in, obviously, and 10 Shadow Warriors as well. So, Street Sharks. So, what's interesting about this is that the two units that can drop down anywhere to go grab the objectives. Talking about the Shadow Warriors and the Heartrenders. They've got some limited shooting as well, which is quite nice. But the important part here is how the Leviathan is going to double up with the Ishling Guard, in that they're going to be a very defensive front line. Like a very, very defensive front line. Do the staircase gag again. Oh my god. Okay. So they're going to, yeah, they'll have a very defensive front line. Yeah, because they ignore Rend, which is great. And they have got a load of wounds. So they're not super offensive. However, I still don't see really how they have enough output. Now, in turn three, where it gets really, really interesting. So there's so much room. So where it gets really interesting, always for Annette Deepkin, is the fact that they can just spam from Vilternus the High King. And as you can see here, there's a battalion and a command point. So when it gets to turn three, where they'll be able to always strikes first and generate extra attacks, Volty will be able to give like extra five attacks to everything in range. So if you look at the actual profiles on those Ishling Guard, they don't look particularly outputty. But if you add plus five attacks to the three different melee profiles that they have per eel, you end up with a phenomenal volume of attacks. And that is really what does it. And the Achillean Leviathan with all the additional attacks also does, as you can see around here and then around here, it really does change the shape of the game, is how it works. anyway, so that's exciting. That's exciting. A Leviathan taking out a tournament. A five-day tournament as well. Five-day tournament. And it did look like it went 5-0. Let me just double-check my information here. It was the only army that went 5-0, with the armies in second place and third place both picking up a loss. So it's pretty exciting. Turtle is the third boat confirmed. Five-day tournament. No, two-day tournament. Did I say that? Five games? Two-day tournament, five games. You guys are going to have to get used to it till I settle back into the new venue. Okay? I'm going to be uncomfortable. I feel quite weird. Don't know how the adjacent show will go tomorrow. It's going to be really weird talking to those guys, but anyway. Now, in second place here. We're going to get this green screen, so I'm going to be able to do this like this, and you guys are going to love it. It's going to be right. It's Cloudy with a Chance of Croak. However, no, in second place was not Cloudy with a Chance of Croak. It was Raining Fire from the Heavens, because it was a Zeench army, which obviously was a change host. He had, but again, different, a lot of change. The Changeling and a Fate Master, and then he's got 20 Blue Horrors, 10 Brim Horrors, 2 times 3 Flamers, an Exalted Flamer, and then 1 brick of 20 blue pink horrors. Normally you don't see the brick of 20, although it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon, and the Prismatic Palisade. I hate you, Twitch chat. That's all I'm going to say. So, not that dissimilar to what you would normally see. And again, Change Host, smashing it again, as always. A lot of the tournament results recently have featured a chain shows, even if it's not in first place. Don't forget that they did pick up a loss though, so it really was only like Leviathan build that that took it out. So that's cool. Anyway, then in third place was a Seraphon list. Way for the dinosaurs. I read something really interesting today. I didn't know this. Follow my train of thought. Number one, they make plastics from oil, as far as I understand it. And as far as I understand it, oil comes from the compressed and fossilized remains of both vegetation and animals from billions of years ago. Not billions, millions of years ago is the right word. Millions of years ago. So oil creates plastic. Plastic, you turn into Seraphon. That means Seraphon are genuinely real dinosaurs. That's the and also so are all the other models as well. So you've got a Bloodthirster, really it's a dinosaur. You know, you've got Evocators on Dracolines, really they're dinosaurs. Recycled dinosaurs, yes. Thanks, Dat.com. I don't think you like that joke, but I'm going to just go with it anyway. However, in third place, Seraphon, Fangs of Sotek, obviously, and Ashloth Bannerbearer, Lord Croak, a Skink Priest, a Skink Star Priest, and another Skink Star Priest. Then, 3 times 40 skinks. That's right, 3. If you could just see here on my chart, 3 times 40 skinks right here, right there. And and then he had Aether Void Pendulum, Bellwind Vortex, Bound Geminids, and an extra command point. The extra command point's quite interesting, but I guess maybe he just had the 50 points and he was like, well, what else am I going to buy? That's a pretty terrifying army. Those skinks can do some horrific work. They're going to be able to run, charge, shoot, do mortals on sixes, and then obviously you can do Croak. But the Celestant Prime as an ally, we've seen that before. Like, you do really hope that the Celestant Prime really, really only works super well inside a Stormcast army, but it doesn't work well in that. Like, I mean, it does work well, but it's the only thing that works well. It's just an amazing ally for Order if you can put it in. But when you double up the Celestant Prime with Croak's ability to do spells AoE across the board, it's pretty terrifying. Now, the interesting element is that nowhere near as reliably, but Nurgle have access to do this as well. So they've got the Nurgle wheel, and they also have Cycle of Corruption, I think it's called. And also you've got Rottigus's spell as well. Now, Rottigus has to cast his spell, and he doesn't get as many bonuses to cast as Croak does. So it hasn't really worked. But it has something that's been in effect for a while. But what's interesting is that Nurgle have had that since pretty much book release. Well, no, since book release of that Nurgle battle tome. And you saw some play with it, but it really couldn't do the damage that this combination. This is just a more effective version of it. Croak doing D3 mortal wounds from range, and then across the board, Celestine Prime drops down and does the same thing in AoE. So it's pretty scary. Musuka Koala, thank you for subscribing for 4 months. So that is the only result, I think, that we had this weekend. To be honest, there was a local little one day at which Nathan won, but I'll let Nathan tell you about that later. I don't think that really is really scraping the barrel when it comes to events at this stage. Not next week, however, because quite excitingly, as talked about, we have the German Tabletop Championships, which I'm going to do a big list review, I think, on Wednesday is when I'm going to talk through that, because there's lots to break down there, and it would be nice to look at like the German meta, you know, in of itself, because right now I can see a Beast of Chaos list in the list. Desert Sketch, I'll be there. Yeah, baby. Okay, I hope you're taking some Skaven. It'll be fun to see which armies do well, especially in this big meta. You would obviously expect it to be something along the lines of Seraphon, Eidneth, I guess. You know, those sorts of armies. Armies at the top of the meta is what you'd expect to do well. Whether or not they're going to, we'll see. Is in-depth list review of the top 9 perfect? So it's some interesting facts coming in from the chat is that there are 9 Carrigan Overlords lists as well. Those KO really have got a massive bump. They were in an okay place at book launch, but it was a little bit confusing exactly how you would build that list. And because of other elements, some other books got brought down. However, KO's effectiveness got brought down as well in points. They got some significant points drops in GHB. and that really allowed them to just put a lot more damage on the tabletop, which is pretty scary because KO have almost always come in the top three in pretty much every event I've looked at recently. So there's going to be, you're going to see them a lot, and it's really hard to deal with those Karajan Overlord armies. Like, it's tough to understand exactly how to do with it. This is a cool list, actually, from the German event coming up. It's a Hallowheart list from Sebastian. He's got a Black Art Fleetmaster as the general, and we all know how that goes. You normally win tournaments with a Black Art Fleetmaster general. And then no KO lists. Yeah, 9 KO lists. Oh, for God's sakes. And then there's a Luminarch Ahish with a Battle Mage. There's a Hurricaneum with a Battle Mage. There are 2 more Battle Mages and a Sorceress. And obviously it's got the Whitefire Retinue, which is what you get, which is the Hallowheart specific battalion, which means all of those are a one drop. And then the additional 3 Battleline units that's been included in is a black, is 40 Black Art Corsairs times 2 and 20 Dark Shards, which is quite fun. And then he's got the Soul Screen Bridge, the Palisade, and the Vortex. So we saw a list run like this last year that took out Blood and Glory, where it ended up using handgunners to deploy on the board and shoot. They had more output, I think, than the Corsairs. So not really sure why we're not seeing that, but he'd be able to do quite a bunch of damage. Damage. Okay, I'm not loving you guys taking the mick out of me in the chat. All right, so let's look at some, because we've got time and there were no other results, if that's okay with you guys. Dirt Cheap Bodies with a load of DACA. Yeah, it's not bad, Dave Frazier, it's not bad at all. It's 40 wounds, so 2 times 40 wounds, and the army rocks in at about 142 wounds. So, like, okay. Like, just a little bit above average, like that being that 120, 130 mark. But a lot of board control, some very strong magic phase, and some DACA. Just no output in combat. So if they get pushed into something heavy, they're in a struggle, right? I think. The Mick Age. Never. There's some great lists here. Anyway, we won't keep going through those lists at the minute. So question to the Twitch chat for you guys. I'm going to take a look at the Trogoth Battalion in a moment. But before I do look at the Trogoth Battalion, I will be covering that again later with Nathan. Twitch chat question. Who do you expect to see banned tonight? We've got WS10 up against the Dragon Slayer. It's 2 great teams with some big names. I guess the real question is who? What units are you expecting to see banned out of the game? I'm very much interested. Attackials, says Archie. Black Art Fleetmaster, says Cinderfall Gaming. Croak. You can't attack. Oh, Croak is one. Diogen says Cockatrices. I think Cockatrices are a unique build. I think it's unlikely to be seeing them. A Tomb Banshee. Interesting. Definitely don't ban Croak. Only cowards ban Croak, says Hugh. Hugh, I meant to message you, actually. Hugh, I don't know if you want to do this. I don't know if anyone knows, but Hugh's got an amazing Seraphon army. He loves converting models. But I was just thinking about the Gargants last night, as I often do, just before sleep. And I thought, wouldn't 3 Dreadsaurians as, like, kind of Godzilla-style behemoths, or even just one, because actually the Mega Gargants are crap, so just do one, but have it stood up in a kind of, like, Mega Gargant-y kind of pose, and then some Carnosaurs as Man-Crusher Gargants, yeah, being the other kind of dinos. Get on it, Hugh, please. I really want to see that. So things that they think are going to get banned are Dankold Trogboss, says Jog PLC. I doubt that. Salamanders, maybe. Dreadwood Pirate Pete banned from Wotherspoons, definitely. Skinks, no, you can't. Sorry, bud. I think we'll see Public Gatherings banned. Oh, wrong show. You are on the wrong show, sorry, again. The UK is potentially facing some more lockdowns. I won't lie. It's genuinely got me, like, really low past couple of days. But what else can we do? Soldier on, talk about toys. I think that's the point. Lady Alinda, the powerhouse, says Calmore. I think that's a bold choice there, Tony, in choosing that. Bellacor is a great pick. I don't understand how Bellacor's not banned. Eel Salamander's new Gargants. I don't imagine new Gargants will be banned. Mega Gargants are great. They can't interact with endless spells. They can't. They can't interact with Ender Spells. I mean, they can be surrounded by Ender Spells and not move. Can you ban Johan? Is he not even got a War Scroll in the game? Rubbish. Now we have Mega Gargants. How long until we get Mega Gorgons? What about, I mean, you just stick Mega in front of everything. Could you not? Mega Ghosts? That works. Mega Black Coach? I want to see that. Just a black coach, but bigger. More like a train. What about an Ironclad, but bigger? A Mega Ironclad. It all works. Mega Gotrek. I want to see it. I want to see all of that. Don't sorry, Godzilla pose would look sweet. Corn Dragon Band. That would be... I just want to see one on the tabletop. War Chanter, Gotrek, Power Move, Banner Lariel. That's too much. Mega Clad, Mega Croak. Yeah, Mega Nurglings. Will anyone ban Croak? Croak's not the right thing to ban. Talk to a Seraphon player, they don't want you to ban the Star Priest. That's the big pick. It makes the army not quite as good. Although they can pivot quite heavily into Coalesce. Did anyone realise that... Thunder Lizard is what I'm saying. Did anyone realise that if you have a Gargant with damage to club, if you play against Seraphon and you're playing against Coalesce, then it's actually a damage one club? Same as a Skink? Anyone picked up on that yet? Is it Mega Gotrek the size of a human? Yeah, Gotrek's pretty big, actually. You'd probably be like an ogre size? Yeah. We already have Mega Korgrath. They just need to give it a Corgi's battle line if... Oh my god, Colonel Cabbage, you're man after my own heart there. Ooh. Okay. You guys seem to just really mainly hate Croak. With a weird pick in Lady Alinda. I'm just going to leave that one with you, Tony. I'm not really sure what's going on there, bud. Okay. Right now, I am going to just go find my rules from my memory of the new White Dwarf rules, which are match play legal for Dankhold Troll bosses. It's exciting because the Trogs have had a rough time the entire time, so it's nice to see them get some improvements. I'm very, very, very excited. Mega Troll Hag. I'm into that. I think the Trogs are beautiful models. I think everyone who plays Trogs is obviously a genius. However, they struggle in loads of different ways. Specifically, they have all of the problems that Gargants have, but not quite as bad. They're a bit better at board control. They're probably actually worse at controlling objectives. They're a bit better at moving around the board. They're a bit better at doing shooting. They're a bit better at some other stuff. Can we go the other way and get a mini Gargant? You should find out tonight how I've tried to work out how to make Gargants competitive. The answer is obscure rules. That's the only way. So I'll read this out to you. We'll read it out to you. So you can skip all of the special rules. So Glog's Mega Mob is, if the army is Gloomspite Gits army, you can give it Glog's Mega Mob keyword. All Gloomspite Gits units in your army gain that keyword, and you can use the following allegiance abilities in addition to the allegiance abilities in Battle Tome Gloomspite Gits. So your main ability, so your battle trait is, add one to the dice that determines if friendly Glog's Mega Mob unit heals any wounds when the unit regenerates this ability. This is pretty rubbish. I just like everyone to know. So terrible ability to be given there. Command ability is oblivious to sorcery. So you pick one unit. So from your two characters, you pick one unit. So your Trog character. So it's a Trog boss or you either choose Rock Guts or you choose a Fell Water within a range of a Dankhold hero. Sorry, I'll get this right. You pick him for 1 CP on a 4+, you can ignore spells. It's a terrible, terrible command ability. Now, back in the day, that would have been a fun command ability, but there's so much auto stuff happens, and there's so much like already baked into War Scrolls things that it's just rubbish. So, command trait, and it's not what they needed either. Like, it isn't what they needed. No one in the world was like, these Trogs. I keep getting done in by spells. They're like, no, they keep getting done in by combat. Anyway. So then they've got a command trait, which is the Shepherd Idiotic... Shepherd of Idiotic Destruction. That's a cool name. If this general is part of your army and on top of, and on the battlefield at the start of your hero phase, roll a dice on a 4+, you receive an extra command point. Which isn't too bad, actually. It isn't too bad, because generating some extra CPs for the army would be okay. And if it's the one that you have to take, it's not bad. It's not great either. It's not great either. Again, baked into other people's war scrolls, where you can get D3 for 320 points. Then, the artifact power is the Aether Quartz Studded Hide. Roll dice each time you allocate a wound or a mortal wound to the bearer on a 5+ wounds negated. Excellent artifact. 5+ DPR on your general. Great. Really good. Really good. Would have liked to have seen that artifact available for Gargants. Generally. Do you know what? I wouldn't mind a list of... Oh my god. No one tell Vince I said this. I would like to see a group of generic artifacts that people could choose from. Then again, no one tell Vince I said that. That was an emotional thought. That was an emotional reaction to these things. Our Gargants allowed in the Super Series, they have to pass their 4-week FAQ. They have to wait their 4-week FAQ. And so that's how long it takes. Plus, no one who wants to win the Super Series will take Gargants because they're terrible. So the other update for the rules, is not a 5-up DPR. Roll dice each time you allocate a mortal wound to the bearer. I've changed my mind. Thank you, everyone, and thank you to Undead Ben. I read too fast. It's just a mortal wound, so it is a terrible artifact. No problem. Don't worry about it. Appreciate that. I forgot it's a destruction book, so you're not allowed any good rules. Okay, so that is also rubbish. And then the War Scroll update is what you would expect. So instead of being able to resurrect Grots, you can now resurrect Trogs, which is quite useful, actually, because they're multi-wound models, so it works a little bit differently. On a 4+, a replacement unit with half the models from that unit was destroyed, rounding fractions up. So there's some cool maths that the guys in the Trog group did, which really weirded me out that they could do maths. Because if you take units of 3 and you get a unit wiped out, then that means you're going to get 2 back on a 4-up. So it's quite effective, really. Like, obviously they start at the back of the board. That's a bit of an issue. Anyway, it's not great. However, in good news, in great news, because anyone that was running Trogs... oh, God. Fuck you, Charlie. Anyone who's playing Trogs anyway, yeah? So this isn't a reason to make the army competitive, or it makes it more competitive, which is great. This has brought it up to, like, I don't know, like, whatever they're at, like... I don't want to be mean. I'm not the Grinch of Warhammer. I'm not doing it. Okay, so this is a great ability. This is a Stomping Mega Mob. It's cool. It's really cool. So you get a Trog Boss, 1 Dankhold Trog Boss. You get 3-9 Glogs, Mega Mob, Dankhold Trog Boss, or Fellwater Trog Boss, or Rock Guts. So you basically get to put all of your army in there, and you also get to include 2 Gargants, 2 Ale Guzzler Gargants, which are much better Gargants. Much better Gargants. Like, Destruction at least have that. No, wait, the other ones are in Destruction as well. Let's just pretend they're not. Anyway, the special ability you get, it's 160 points, but you can create like a 1-drop out of this, which is sweet as. So what's cool is units from this battalion can retreat and still shoot and or charge later in the same turn. So yeah, you could do a 1-drop from this, which is sweet, if you wanted to. You probably wouldn't do a 1-drop because you want some like wizard support, because every Trog, as we know, always brings a little git wizard, like, who they can bully to cast Scuttletide for them every time. However, that doesn't matter. The important thing that does matter is the fact that they can retreat and shoot and charge, but they can't run and shoot and charge, which is a bit of a blunder, because it just means that first turn they're just still kind of walking, and they have to have gotten a fight to run away from a fight, which is weird and very untroggy, like, I guess. But still being able to shoot is also useful as well. So if they do need to run onto an objective, to hold an objective, why they wouldn't be making a beeline for the objective anyway to fight on the objectives, I don't know. But I'm sure they would be. But it does mean you get to, like, you know, if you get tagged by some, like, annoying little unit, let's say some clan rats or something, and then so you're just like, well, I can't beat them up because they're too tough, So I'm going to run away and go charge. So Zipzap Mob says, is this meant to sell people on a new army? I don't think it does that. It doesn't bring them up to any competitive level that you might take to a tournament. There are other reasons to collect armies. However, really, that isn't what we discuss on the show. The other reasons for taking armies means you can already collect them for whatever reason you want to do. That's fine. And so you can. And they're cool models, super beautiful models. And Nathan will tell you later that they're great. Do we really want every army to have an answer to every threat weakness there is in the game? I feel like an army has an answer to everything that might make balance issues as they effectively have little to no weakness. Well, Draconda, that's interesting. It's an interesting meta conversation and a good question to ask, because really you're asking why Seraphon exists, I guess. Some armies don't have answers to some situations. Carrion Overlords obviously don't have particularly good melee, and the flip side of that is Iron Jaws and Sanesh and some other armies, I'm sure I could pick some. Fleshy Corps, let's say, don't have really good answers to shooting. So there is that kind of like rock, paper, scissors. Some armies don't have that though. Some armies have the ability to have everything. So that's not really a suggestion that I'm making in any way. And that rock, paper, scissors mechanic is quite interesting as well. It does mean things rise to prevalence. Like last year, obviously, we saw combat, thanks to Sanesh, we saw combat be very, very important. And shooting was on the down slope. Whereas now, we've got shooting very, very high, working really well, doing really good work, and really, really changing the shape of the game in that way as well. So, Gargants, by the way, the Mega Gargants would have been useless in both metas, I'd just like to point out. Okay, good. So what do we all think of that? I think it's cool. It's nice to get them... Like, look, any extra rules the Trogs can have is great, because if you're already playing Trogs, it makes your army better, which is like two thumbs from me. Does it make them competitive? No way. However, will that stop anyone who wants to play Trogs competitively? No, it won't. So that's good as well. Gits are stunning models, to be fair. I bought a Loom Boss and Mangler just to paint it. They're great models. I mostly paint for Alexian and to collect for visuals of the army. I play rarely seldom, even though I'd like to play more. Which is absolutely great. You don't have to play. And you can't play in tournaments. I mean, you can rarely play in tournaments at the minute, all around the world. So right now I'm talking about something that doesn't overly or necessarily exist. It's very unique and it's very like fringe case, which does mean you get the opportunity to like bump some stuff up if you wanted to. But threw buffed skinks into melee this weekend, crushed six Kurn off. They're also good in a fight. Yeah. Hey, it was Tim. No one likes shooting, not even people with shooting armies. It seems interactive, I think, in some ways, to not be up close and fighting. I think that is the difference a lot of the times, or has been the difference for a long time between Age of Sigmar and 40k. But Age of Sigmar has had good shooting in the past, and it has it now, very much so. So, you know, something to be aware of. My question is, why two Gits White Dwarf expansions in a row? Meanwhile, Dispossessed unit are not part of any legal battalion. So Grinaldi, the Dispossessed, though, are in a very strong place as models, not like their own city, let's say, but they are like a particularly strong element of the Cities of Sigmar armies at the moment. So like they don't really need any help. Not that I think any of the two recent rules updates that we've had in White Dwarf have upticks as well. I think it's just a way to try and sell very easily some more White Dwarfs. Just stick some rules in. And instead of doing it all in one go in White Dwarf, now you've got 4 weeks. I expect there'll be a spider one next time. And then all you'll get is some additional stuff. But like Colonel Cabbage says, they haven't done it for something like the War Herd or Beast of Chaos. But hopefully that means the Beast of Chaos battalion's in the way. It might also mean the reason that we're getting these is because the Gits' new battle tome is very far away. And is not part of like the next year or maybe even 2 year plans. So you've got, you know, but I mean, trying to assign reason or rhyme to it is never good. Never good. All right, well, I think that's it for the news today. I don't want to like just prattle on with nothing else for the day, because I think I've actually delivered some information instead of just whittling on, which is nice. Well, very rare for me, and I still feel really uncomfy doing live streams from here. I'd like everyone to know that. Doesn't feel right at all. I need like a comfy armchair or something to do them from. That's my future. That's one day. I'm going to set this up in the corner over there. But it's been really fun talking to you guys. Any questions before we go? Where's the hag love? Listen, the Trogoth princess is all I care about. She's beautiful, and she should just get all the love. She can, I mean, you can include the Trogoth hag if you wanted to, but why would you? Exit with an elevator thing. All right, well, I will. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Please do join me again at 6 p.m. tonight on the T-Sports Network to check out the band show between WS10 and Drunk Slice. It's really fun because it's going to be the second time it's happened. I don't know what's going to get banned. I don't know what their plans are. What's interesting is both teams have got like a very unique style, very much like the last two teams that we saw before. So there's the conversation about the metagame, but there's also the conversation about those two like unique kind of like team builds, which I think we're going to see in play. Okay, good. All right. Any guesses for this week's Saturday preview? I imagine pretty much nothing. There's always a Saturday preview when we've got a Super Series on, isn't there? It's interesting. I don't think it'll be much, but whatever. All right, well, I'll see you guys tonight. Thanks for listening. If you're on the Honest War Gaming Patreon, thank you for supporting us so we can be honest and give you impartial mean. Oh, I'm not impartial. I mean, I'm pretty partial. But whatever. Thank you to everyone who's joined us live, and thank you to everyone on the podcast. Please stay hydrated and look after yourselves. And I'm just going to take my elevator ride. No. Ding.